Welcome to Pluralsight's Meet the Author podcast, where every week we have the opportunity to chat with our authors about their latest course releases and get a behind-the-scenes commentary on current technology. This is all brought to you by Pluralsight, hardcore developer training.
Hello, this is Mike Woodring with another Pluralsight author interview. Today I'm talking with Robert Kane about his new course, PowerShell and SQL Server. Robert Kane is a Microsoft MVP in SQL Server, MCTS certified in business intelligence, and works as a senior consultant for Pragmatic Works. He is co-author of volumes 1 and 2 of SQL Server MVP Deep Dives, as well as Professional SQL Server 2012 Administration. A popular speaker, Robert is presented at events such as TechEd, SQL Rally, and numerous SQL Saturdays. And Robert's popular blog on SQL Server and PowerShell topics can be found at arcanecode.com. Well, hello, Robert. Thank you for being here today.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for having me.
So before we talk about your new course, I wanted to ask you about something that caught my eye on your blog. And it wasn't one of your numerous posts on PowerShell or SQL Server. It was actually the TRS-80 computer that you said your dad brought home one day when you were 13. I also have fond, although somewhat hazy, memories of that same system. So if you don't mind, would you please tell us a little bit about how that TRS-80 ignited your passion for programming?
Wow, you're going way back. My dad used to work as a CIO for a company, and he brought home a TRS-80 as a way to remotely log into where he worked. And he was foolish enough to let the kids use it. And one of the things he had done to learn the basic programming languages, wrote a little Star Wars game. And I became really interested in playing it, but even more so, I got interested in how it worked. So I used to get into the code, look at it, make adjustments, play it. And I even got it to the point where it would cheat. So if I was playing my sister, I'd win 9 times out of 10. But that basically unleashed the monster in me for a passion for programming, and I haven't stopped ever since. I've gone through a whole variety of computers over the years, and I'm still very much enjoying programming today in a different form with PowerShell and the SQL Server tools.
Oh, that's awesome. Thanks for sharing that. Appreciate that. So now, the title of your new course, PowerShell and SQL Server, actually mentions two technologies that each have quite a large surface area in their own right. Why did you decide to write a course that integrates the two?
Well, after the first course I did on just basic PowerShell, I looked around for a new PowerShell course to author, and because the PowerShell with SQL Server does cover two such large areas of technology, and there's a lot of confusion between the two, I wanted to make sure that that was the next course we tackled. The goal was to help people demystify the differences and determine which one is appropriate for their situation.
Okay, so looking at the table of contents for this course, you seem to target two different audiences, DBAs and developers. Tell us more about who this course is intended for, what the prerequisite skills they should already have before starting might be, and what they can expect to learn by watching.
The obvious answer would be the DBA, because it is SQL Server. And it is true that the DBAs are going to gain a lot from this course. They will learn how to reach out to other SQL servers to gain information back, to look at things about their databases, table structures, but in addition to learn information about their servers, things like counters, disk space, things that are difficult to do within just straight SQL Server. But it's also extremely useful to the .NET developer in his interactions with SQL Server. Here's a good example. Most developers I know have written an application at some point that takes text files and maybe imports that data into SQL Server, and then it's got to move those text files to some kind of a process directory. With PowerShell, you can first write a script that verifies that, number one, that data is present in SQL Server in the format it needs to be, and then number two, those files are now residing in the processed folder and are no longer in the original source folder. Now, after every run, what do you have to do? Well, you wind up having to reset everything for the next time. Again, PowerShell can make this extremely easy. With a single command, you can run a script that takes those processed files out of the processed folder, returns them to the original directory, and will go out to SQL Server and reset your database to a known state that you can then start from.
Interesting. Okay. Well, so I noticed that throughout this course, two specific technologies play somewhat of a central role. And that was SMO, or SQL Management Objects, and the SQL provider for PowerShell. Now, someone just learning about these technologies invariably notices that there is a lot of overlap between them. How exactly do SMO and the SQL provider relate to one another?
Well, you're right. There is a lot of overlap between the two, and that's because the new SQL provider is based upon the SQL Management Objects. SQL Management Objects are a collection of .NET DLLs that are designed to work with SQL Server. With PowerShell version 1, this was the only way you had to interact with SQL Server. Microsoft recognized that for a DBA who is not used to doing .NET-oriented development, trying to use the SQL Management Object libraries would be difficult. There was a big learning curve. So, with version 2 of PowerShell, they created something called the SQL Provider. The SQL Provider is very similar to what you would use with, say, a file system. You can navigate up and down your directory tree, which in this case would be your server, then the instances, then the databases, then the tables, then the columns, and move all around. In addition, you can actually execute T-SQL commands against your databases. So this allowed DBAs to use some of the tools they were familiar with to continue to work with SQL Server. At its core, the SQL provider is based on SMO. So pretty much everything you can do in the SQL provider can also be done in SMO. There are things, however, that you can do in SMO that you can't do in the SQL provider. So for that reason, I'd recommend people learn both. The SQL provider lets people interact quickly and easily with the database and will cover a large majority of the situations that you need to work with. However, there are times when you need to do things that, number one, maybe you can't do, or number two, would be easier or faster to do in the SQL Management Objects. In the course, you're going to see a demonstration where the SQL Management Objects actually perform faster by a large order of magnitude than using the SQL provider for certain tasks.
Excellent. So the release of Windows 8 and Windows Server 2012 are right around the corner, and it's my understanding that they include an update to PowerShell. I'm not sure if that's PowerShell 3 or if they've given it a different name at this point, but can you tell us what some of the new features are that users will find there?
Well, it has indeed been branded as PowerShell version 3. There's many new features. The biggest feature that's being touted is called workflows. Workflows provide two important pieces of technology. The first one is the ability to run tasks in parallel. Now, let's say you had a situation where you wanted to reach out to maybe the 100 SQL servers in your organization that you had to maintain on a daily basis, and you wanted to query them to make sure that there was enough disk space and enough RAM and things weren't going badly. Well, in the current version of PowerShell, it's a sequential job. You go into a for each loop, and you have to go to each server and wait for that server to return its information. With workflows, you can run things in parallel, which means PowerShell can reach out to all 100 servers simultaneously and pull that information back. This means you're going to get your data back much quicker than you do today. The second feature is workflows itself. With workflows itself, you can start a PowerShell job, and then with that PowerShell job, internally suspend that job until some later condition is met. And then that script can be rerun multiple times. It'll pick up at exactly the point where it was suspended, check to see if the condition has been met, and then continue running. There are a few other new features. There's some nice language enhancements. I think the other big thing that people will notice is the IDE, or Integrated Development Environment. This has been overhauled and is much, much nicer to use than the current one in version 2.
Oh, well, excellent. That async capability sounds especially enticing for someone like myself.
Yes, very, very useful.
So, okay, well, great. Well, thank you very much, Robert. I'm sure developers and DBAs alike will very much appreciate your new course.
Thanks, Mike. I had a lot of fun creating the course, and I hope everybody has as much fun watching it as I did making it.
Excellent. Well, this is Robert Kane's new course, PowerShell and SQL Server.
Thanks for listening. This course is available as part of our online training library, packed with courses on the latest technology. To view this course or any of our other videos, visit Pluralsight.com. There you can sign up for a subscription to meet your training needs or open a free trial account to get started. Hardcore developer training starts now at Pluralsight.com.